Zechariah chapter 4. We'll read the whole chapter. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I say, I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, seven and seven pipes to the lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees beside it, one on the right of the bowl, and the other on the left of it. And I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of Jehovah unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said Jehovah of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou dost become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone with shoutings, Grace, grace unto it. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall finish it, and thou shalt know that Jehovah of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? Yea, they shall rejoice, even these seven, and shall see the plumber in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of Jehovah, which run to and fro in the whole earth. And I answered and said unto him, What are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand, and on the left? And I answered the second time, and said unto him, What are the two olive branches, which are beside the two golden tubes, that emptied the gold out of themselves? And he spoke to me, saying, Knowest not thou what these are? And I say, No, my Lord. And he said, These are the two sons of oil, that stand before the Lord of the whole world. Let's have a further word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee again for inviting us to Thy table, reminding us of Thy amazing love for us. We thank Thee for giving Thy blood to us, cleansing us from all our iniquities, shut the mouth of our adversary, and open the way for us to approach the very throne of grace. We thank Thee for Thy body broken for us, that we may receive life and life eternal, that we may be united in life with Thee, and we also may be united with one another in one body. Lord, as we continue in Thy presence this morning, we want to hear Thy word. Do speak to us. We are listening. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we share on Zechariah chapter 3. In Zechariah chapter 3, we see the recovery of priesthood. In the recovery of the house of God, unless the priesthood is recovered. That recovery is not complete. Why you may have the house, but if you do not have the priest functioning there, the house will be quiet, silent. Nothing happened. But with the priest serving in the house of God, then you'll find everything becomes alive. So brothers and sisters, in the recovery of the house of God, there needs a recovery of priesthood. And thank God, we are priests unto our God and Father. And because we are priests, it is our responsibility as well as our privilege to serve Him in His house. Now, in the first vision that Zechariah saw, he actually saw Joshua, the high priest, who represents the whole priesthood, standing before the angel of the Lord. And yet, Joshua's clothes were filthy garments. Now the priest must be clothed with priestly garments for glory and for ornament, make him fit to serve the glorious Holy Lord. But instead you'll find Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. In other words, he was not able to serve as he should. And of course, Joshua represents the whole children of Israel. They were in filthy rags. And Satan was also there. He was standing by the right side of Joshua to resist him. In other words, you'll find Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord, supposed to serve the Lord, fulfilling his priestly function. But he was not able to do that because of his spiritual condition. And Satan has every ground to accuse him, to resist him, to prevent him from fulfilling his ministry. Joshua had nothing to say. But thank God, the angel of the Lord, who is our Lord Jesus, he spoke for Joshua. He rebuked Satan and said, "The Lord rebukes you. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Don't you know that he is a brand plucked out of the fire?" In other words, here we find our Lord Jesus himself. He speaks for us. He has chosen us even before the foundation of the world. And because he has chosen us, he also justifies us. And because he justifies us, he also sanctifies us. In other words, here you'll find our Lord is able to take off our filthy rags and put upon us that festival robes, which is none other but himself. He will clothe us with himself so that we can stand before him and serve him as priest. So you find that everything is done by the Lord. It is the Lord who calls, and it is the Lord who makes us fit to serve him. And the word of the Lord to him is, if he is faithful, then he will be able to rule his house. He will stand among those who stand before the Lord. And also, he will be one who will bring in the branch. That is, bring back our Lord Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, if we are faithful in what the Lord has given to us, he has done to us, and if we faithfully function as priests, this will in turn bring in our Lord Jesus, his second coming. Now, that's what we shared last Lord's Day. Now, this morning we will go into Zechariah chapter 4, another vision. You know, that night was a very busy night because a series of visions were given to Zechariah. He had already been shown several visions. He had been shown how the Lord will recover his people, how the Lord will break the horns that broke the children of Israel, how the Lord will revive that nation, and how the Lord will bring even all the nations to worship God, and how the Lord will restore priesthood. So he had really learned a lot. And then you'll find he fell into sleep. You know, brothers and sisters, to me it's always, it always seems strange to me. When you are given such visions, these should so uplift you and so excite you. Now, how can you go to sleep? But oftentimes you'll find in the Bible that's what's happening. You remember when our Lord took the three disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration? It was such a wonderful, glorious sight. Now, we should have our eyes wide open to see that glory. And yet you find they all fell to sleep. And it was towards the end that they woke up. And when they woke up, you know, that was almost the end. And Peter tried to retain it. Now, it seems strange. But you know, brothers and sisters, it just shows that how limited we are. When God is revealing his mind, his glory to us, just with a little, we are so contented and we are so satisfied that we fall into sleep. We think that's all we need. But thank God, he always has something more for us. So, the angel that spoke with Zechariah woke him up and said, now what do you see? There is something more you need to see. And he said, I saw a golden lampstand with a big bowl and seven pipes to each lamp. In other words, there are seven lamps in the golden lampstand and a big bowl there. And then each lamp has seven pipes going into it. Altogether 49 pipes. And then he also saw two olive trees, one standing on the right and one standing on the left. That's why Zechariah saw. So the angel said to him, do you know what it means? Zechariah said, I don't know. Now actually, Zechariah should know. Why? Because the golden lampstand was very familiar to the children of Israel. In the tabernacle of God, in the holy place, there was the golden lampstand. And if you turn to Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, or Exodus chapter 37, you'll find the description of that golden lampstand. God commanded Moses to make a golden lampstand to put in the holy place according to the pattern on the mount. And that golden lampstand was made of pure gold, of one talent of gold. And that golden lampstand is of beaten work. In other words, it has to be beaten, that talent of gold. Think of it, a whole talent of gold. And you just beat and beat and beat until that gold takes the form of a beautiful lampstand with seven branches, with cups like almond, knob, and flower. And on the top of it, the seven lamps. It's a beautiful work. And it was to be placed in the holy place. And Aaron and his son were to tend, take care of the light from evening to morning. They will go there and pour oil in it and see that the lampstand gave light to the house of God. Because you know, in the holy place, it's all covered. The sunshine cannot penetrate into it. So in the holy place, it's all lit by the light of the lampstand. Otherwise, the priest will not be able to serve because it will be all dark. Now that is the golden lampstand. When you come to the New Testament, you know, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, that lampstand explained to us. John, on the island of Patmos, he saw a vision. He saw seven golden lamps with the Son of God standing in the midst of it. And the seven golden lamps were explained to John. The mystery of the seven golden lamps are the seven churches in Asia. So, brothers and sisters, the golden lampstand in the scripture speaks of the church of God. It represents the church of God. The church of God is like a lampstand. You know, a lampstand is not an end in itself. It is a means to an end. The lampstand is for the purpose of holding the light, of lifting up the light. And we remember our Lord Jesus. In John chapter 8, he says, verse 12, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me does not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The true light has come into the world to enlighten all men. So our Lord Jesus is the light. The church is the lampstand. The purpose of the church is to lift up Christ, to testify to Christ, that the testimony of Jesus may be uplifted and spread and enlighten the world. Now that is what the church is. The church itself is but a means. It does not draw attention to itself. It draws attention to Christ. That is the function of the church. The golden lampstand in the holy place is not just an ornament, a decoration. It is functional. It is there to serve an important purpose. So, brothers and sisters, that is what the Church of God is. It is not just there as an ornament for people to look at it and admire it. You know, oftentimes we find that's what Christianity tries to be today. Something like an ornament or a monument. You know, let people admire it. No, that is not the purpose of the church. Even though it is beautiful because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because it manifests Christ. It is beautiful. But that is not its purpose. It is functional. It is to uplift Christ. Now this golden lampstand is made of pure gold. You know, in the tabernacle, there are quite a few furniture there. But of all the furniture in the tabernacle, there are only two pieces of furniture that are made purely of gold. Some are made with brass, like the brazen altar, the brazen laver. And some are made of wood, overlaid with gold. But there are only two pieces of furniture in the tabernacle that are made of pure gold. Now one, of course, is the mercy seat. The mercy seat is made of pure gold. Why? Because Christ is our mercy seat. You remember in Romans chapter 3, God has set him forth as the mercy seat. Now in some translations, a propitiation, but in the original, Christ is set forth as the mercy seat. It is because of Christ God is able to show mercy to us. And you'll find it is made of pure gold. Nothing but gold. But strangely, you find there is another piece of furniture in the tabernacle that is made of pure gold, and that is the golden lampstand. Again, I find it very extraordinary. Because when you think of the church of God, you will say it should be made of wood and overlaid with gold. That's our understanding. What is the church? The church is not a building with bricks or stone or wood. A church is made of people. A redeemed people. People of God. We are the church of God. We who are redeemed by the precious blood. We are the church of God. And you know, humanity, human nature, is always represented in the scripture by wood. So we will say the church should be made of wood, but overlaid with gold, because we have received the life of God in us. But no, in the pattern on the mount, God said, the candlestick or the lampstand is made of pure gold. Nothing but gold. Why? Because His church, in its truest sense, is nothing but the Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is said, the body, there is one body, but many members. Many members, but one body. So also is the Christ. One body, many members. Many members, one body, that is the church. But the Holy Spirit says, so also is the Christ. Why? Because in the church, even though there are many people there, and yet our flesh, our natural life, are all being dealt with by the cross and are left outside. So what is left is Christ in you and in me. It is Christ, nothing but Christ. So the church is the Christ. It is Christ in His corporate expression. So, brothers and sisters, when we really see a vision of the church, we shall understand that how much the work of the cross must be wrought into our very life. Everything that is not Christ in us, among us, has to be eliminated, has to be kept outside of the church. I cannot bring my opinion into the church. I cannot bring my own feeling into the church. I cannot bring myself into the church, inject into the church. Because if I do, I will break the very makeup of the church, the very testimony of the church. Because the church is to testify Christ, not to testify of you or of me. All the human elements has to be dealt with by the cross. And what is left is Christ and Christ alone. Now, that makes up the church. And I think the strangest thing is, it is a beaten work. Now, we will think that our flesh needs to be beaten. You know, we need lots of beatings. How strong is our flesh? You know, we need lots of beatings, lots of discipline, lots of dealings, so that we may be delivered from ourselves. But no. What we need is not beating. What we need is crucifying. You know, the Lord knows beating is no use. No matter how He beats us, we are still the same. So He said, crucify it. Our old man was crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer live I, but Christ who lives in me. But the beating is to beat upon pure gold. We may think, well, pure gold represents the divine life, the life of our Lord Jesus in us. Now, that life doesn't need to be beaten, right? It's pure. Why should it be beaten? Well, it is to be beaten into form. We, the Christ in each one of us, needs to be beaten. In other words, there needs lots of discipline yet for us to really be joined into one and to be transformed and conformed to the image of the beloved Son. So even the divine life in us needs to be beaten, that we may be formed together into one beautiful lampstand. And that is the purpose of the lampstand. You know, when the light of the lampstand shines, it reflects upon the lampstand and show forth the beauty of Christ. In that lampstand, you have the cup. It shapes like a cup, like an almond. You know, cup in the scripture speaks of portion, the portion of the cup. What is in the cup? And it's shaped like an almond, because almond in the scripture speaks of resurrection. It is the first flower that comes after winter. So it always speaks of resurrection. So brothers and sisters, here you'll find this lampstand, which represents the church. There is the fullness of the resurrection life of our Lord Jesus. It is not the natural life anymore. It is the resurrection life of our Lord Jesus. And then with the cup, you have the knob. Knob is the concentration. So it speaks of the fruit. Not only there is that life, but that life bears fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. And then you have the flower, the beauty, manifestation of the life of Christ. So the whole lampstand, actually, you'll find, is to manifest the beauty and the glory, the life of our Lord Jesus. So when the lampstand are lit, you'll find it reflects on the lampstand and show forth the beauty and the glory of Christ. That is what the church really is. Brothers and sisters, you know the house of God. God is so great. You know, in the Old Testament time, you'll find even when Solomon built a temple, he said, God, the heaven and the heavens cannot contain you. How can this temple be your dwelling place? It is just a place for you to put your name there. So in other words, you'll find the tabernacle or the temple actually is where the name of God is being placed. So on earth, there is a name of God there on earth as a testimony to the world. So that's the reason why during the Babylonian captivity, God is no longer called, addressed as the God of the heavens and of the earth. He's only addressed as the God of the heavens, because on earth there is no testimony, no name, no place to put his name. Israel has failed God as a vessel of the testimony of God. Now, brothers and sisters, what is the church? The church is a vessel of the testimony of Jesus. He puts his name there. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. The church is to bear the testimony of Jesus. That is how what the house of God is. So unless there is a lampstand, you find the house doesn't fulfill its purpose. thank God, in the recovery of the children of Israel, the golden lampstand was to be recovered. That is the reality, the meaning of the house of God, as a vessel for the testimony of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, in the recovery of the house of God today, there must be this recovery of the golden lampstand. Because the church is the vessel of the testimony of Jesus. You find in the early church how they bore the testimony of Jesus. And even when you come to the book of Revelation, you find John was exiled because of the testimony of Jesus. And this testimony of Jesus must be recovered today. But in the golden lampstand that Zechariah saw, you find it was a little different. There were some variations. Why? Because in this vision, he saw three things that were not there when Moses made the golden lampstand. He saw that there was a big bowl there. A big bowl as a reservoir to keep the oil. In other words, you need a big bowl to hold lots of oil. And then you find there are seven pipes to each lamp. Not just seven pipes to seven lamps. In the original, it's seven and seven pipes. In other words, to each lamp, seven pipes. Now, seven in the scripture speaks of fullness. So it means that they are full channels of supply. Not just one pipe, because one pipe is limited. Seven pipes is abundant supply, abundant channel of supply. And then you'll find two olive trees. You know, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, Aaron and his sons, they were look after the lamps. So in the evening, they would come in and see if the oil was depleted, and they would pour some more oil into it. That's the way to keep the light burning day and night, night and day. In other words, the light of the lampstand never goes out. But here in this vision is very different. You find the oil is supplied by two olive trees. And what the olive trees produce and pour into the bowl is gold. Is gold. But when the gold flows through the pipes to the lamp, it becomes oil. So you find there are abundance of supply. Now gold in the scripture speaks of the nature of God. God's life. So these two olive trees, they become olive trees. They're full of oil. But this oil is gold. It is the divine life of Christ. They are full of the Holy Spirit. And because they are full of the Holy Spirit, therefore, you'll find what comes out of them is the abundant life of our Lord Jesus. And when this abundant life is poured into the lamps, it becomes the oil that light the whole world. Now that's something different. So the emphasis in this vision is how is the light supplied? In the recovery of the golden lampstand, the emphasis is not just in the lampstand itself. The emphasis is on the light. How is the light applied? Supplied. Plenty of supply. Abundant supply. Lots of channels. But all comes from the two olive trees. Now, of course, when Zechariah saw that vision, the two olive trees signifies Joshua and Zerubbabel. Because these were the two leaders. One, the royal, the other, the priestly. They led the children of Israel, the remnant of the children of Israel, out of Babylon, returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God. So these two men, they were represented by the two olive trees. But what is the spiritual meaning of the two olive trees? How does it apply to us today? Brothers and sisters, for the church of God to shine with light, it needs to be supplied. And where will they all be supplied? It will be supplied by two olive trees. Now, two in the scripture speaks of plurality. Not just by one person. It speaks of plurality. If two of you shall agree on earth and pray, whatever the Lord will answer. Olive trees. Not only we have the Holy Spirit. You know, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. But not every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. But are we filled with the Holy Spirit? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit if we are already filled with other things? We need to be emptied because before we can be filled. We need to be emptied of all the other things. Things that we consider as precious to us. Things that we keep within ourselves. Like the five foolish virgins. We need to be wise virgins. We need to empty ourselves of all that is not of God. Not of Christ. Not of the Holy Spirit. And we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. Fill us to the brim. Fill us to overflowing. You know, the filling of the Holy Spirit is an experience. According to the Word of God, you'll find a person can be filled with the Holy Spirit many times. It's an experience. When you really abandon yourself to the Lord, give yourself to the Lord, yield yourself to the Lord, when you really empty yourself, He will fill us. We will experience a filling of the Holy Spirit. But more than that. It's not just your field 5 years ago. You know, we often heard people say, this is a brother who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we want to ask, when was he filled? Was it 5 years ago he had that experience? But how about today? Is he still being filled by the Holy Spirit? So in the Bible you'll find, like Stephen, like Philip, they are full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, not just an experience, it is a state. It is a continuous situation. You are filled with the Holy Spirit that you may be full of the Holy Spirit. You will become an olive tree. Not just a vessel filled with oil once in a time. And maybe after 5 years it's already depleted. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Continuously filled. In that full state of the Holy Spirit. You become an olive tree. That is what the Lord wants. And the church needs lots of people like that. The reason why the testimony of Jesus is not being shed abroad, it is because there's a lack of people who are full of the Holy Spirit, whose life is controlled by the Holy Spirit, ruled by the Holy Spirit. Be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk, but be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And with such people, there will be plenty of supply to the church, that the church may fulfill its mission of bearing the testimony of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, I believe this is what the Lord is trying to say to us. May we be these olive trees, standing before the Lord and standing by the side of the golden lampstand. Now that's the vision. But with a vision, there is always the word. You know, whenever a vision is given, there is a message from the Lord. It is not just seeing something. You will also hear something. So what is the message of this vision? The angel asked Zechariah, do you understand? He said, I don't. So the angel said, this is the message. That is to say, in this vision, there is a message. And the message is this. A message to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, he was a descendant of David. He represents kingship. The name Zerubbabel means born in Babylon. He was a young man. He was born in Babylon. He never saw Jerusalem. He never saw the temple built by Solomon. He was born in Babylon. And yet, the Spirit of God moved him to return to Jerusalem. To rebuild the temple. In other words, he knew nothing about Jerusalem. He knew nothing about the temple of Solomon. And yet somehow the Spirit of God gave him such a burden for the name of the Lord upon the earth. For the testimony of God upon the earth. And he was moved by the Holy Spirit to return and to do this work. He went back with a remnant, with the only reason to rebuild the house of God. So you remember in the book of Ezra, when they came back, they started with building an altar, and then afterwards, they tried to lay the foundation, and they tried to build a house, but they would met lots of oppositions from their neighbors. They were being falsely accused before the Persian kings. And the whole work was stopped. Their hands were weakened. They could not go on. And the whole work was stopped for maybe 15 years or more. Until the second year of King Darius has finished. Then through the prophecy of Haggai and Zechariah, you find the heart of Joshua and of Zerubbabel and the remnant, their heart was being encouraged. And they rose up and continue with the building of the house of God. So here you'll find there is a message to Zechariah. You come back with a purpose of restoring the testimony of God upon this earth. But you are met with a mountain, a great mountain, a great difficulty. You cannot overcome it. And the whole work was stopped. How can you resume it? Even if you resume it, look at what you have done. It cannot be compared with the Temple of Solomon. It's so small. So you find on the one hand, Zerubbabel, even though he had the heart, he was discouraged by the difficulties around him. A great mountain standing in his way. And he was also discouraged by the little that he could see being done. What could he do? He could not build a temple as glorious as Solomon's temple. It cannot be compared. Even if it's finished, it cannot be compared. He was really discouraged. So, the word of God came to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Might, that word, can also be translated as host or army. Not by army. So might here represents the combined strength of all the people. Nor by power. Power speaks more personally to Zerubbabel. In other words, if you want to succeed in this task, even if you pull the whole power, strength, resources together, you won't be able to do it. It is beyond human power. It is beyond corporate strength. Nobody can do it. Not by might, nor by power. Do not think that you can depend upon the combined resources of the people. The strength of the people. No. Do not think you can do it by your power. You cannot. Nothing can be done. It can only be done by the Spirit of God. What a message that is. Who supplies the oil? The Holy Spirit is the oil. So the oil trees, full of the Holy Spirit, and it is only by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit that is poured into the lampstand that makes it shine. By the Spirit. And you remember the Lord said, I'm with you. I'm with you. The seven eyes represent the seven spirits of God. It means his sevenfold functions. One spirit with sevenfold functions, as you find in Isaiah chapter 11. The eyes of God are watching. When he saw the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, he was glad. Zerubbabel, who begins it, shall fulfill it, and shall put on the top stone, and shall grace grace upon it. In other words, the Lord is assuring Zerubbabel, if he depends on the Holy Spirit, he will be able to finish the whole job. And it is all of grace. Do not think that you can do anything. You are able to. It is all of grace. It is the grace of God by the working of the Holy Spirit that he will raise up his house and he will light up the lamps. Do not think it is the day of small things. Do not despise it. Even though it may look very little in your eyes, but the eyes of the Lord are upon it. He saw it. He is pleased with it. He accepted it. Brothers and sisters, we today are living in the days of small things. You remember what the Lord said to the church in Philadelphia? I know you have a little power. People are looking for something big, thinking that that is tremendous. But brothers and sisters, the Lord is not looking for quantity. He's looking for quality. This is the day of small things. Small, but pure. Small, but it is all of Christ. None of self. And his eyes are upon it. It is all of grace. So, dear brothers and sisters, I believe when Zechariah was given that vision, and receive that message. What a comfort it is. What is the work of us who are kings unto God? The work of a king or the work of kings is to restore the testimony of Jesus. That is the work. That is a royal work. And the Lord has entrusted to his people for that. So may we not draw back. May we give ourselves totally to him. knowing that there's nothing in us. Everything is Him. Is He. Let Him fill us with His Spirit. And by His Spirit, supply the light that is needed for the testimony of Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, how we want to thank and praise Thee that Thou dost have a message for us today. Not by might, nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, we want to thank Thee we have no might nor power. But we know Thou hast the Spirit, and Thou hast given it to us. So Lord, teach us how to be emptied of everything and let Thee fill us to the brim, to overflowing. Lord, that the testimony of Jesus may be recovered in the church. Thy name may go forth. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen.